Christian Parenting. Aloha, friends. Welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom and Raising Amazing. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, hey, friends, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so glad to get to hang out with you again today. And I am so excited to share today's episode with you. I have an interview with Cynthia Yanoff, and it's kind of like the comedic relief we all need. Cynthia has such a way of speaking serious truths and encouragement, but making you laugh. And so it all goes down so easy. So I can't wait to share it with all of you. First, though, I have to pause and just say, wow, what a month and what a spring. I have so much going on that my head is kind of spinning, but it's all so good. And so I hope you are not missing anything. And the best way to make sure you're staying up to date with all the things I have, like free stuff, downloads, a launch team for my next book about to open in April, be sure you're on my email list. And you can join that at monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Okay? I take good care of my email subscribers, and I will never share your email address, so you're safe with me. But that launch team is going to be so much fun. Whether or not, so my next book, in case you're new around here, my next book is called Becoming Homeschoolers. And this book is really one part our family story. So I think anyone might enjoy kind of learning about how we became homeschoolers after never imagining we would. But it's also a guidebook for anyone who might be considering homeschooling. I cover everything you need to know from preschool to college. So I've poured a lot of work into this. There's a huge resource list, and I think it's just going to be super helpful. I'm just so proud of how it turned out. And the launch team, again, it's for anyone who wants to join to support the launch of this book that I've poured so much into. So whether you are a homeschooler or considering homeschooling, or maybe you just want to support my efforts, you will be welcome to join the launch team. And we're going to be doing some great giveaways in there. We're going to have so much fun. It'll start in April. So stay tuned and be sure, again, you're on my email list at monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Now, before we jump into this interview, I do have to tell you about another fantastic resource over at the Christian Parenting website. And I just want to make a side note here. I am so thankful that I have teamed up with a ministry that offers such excellent resources. I always get a copy of whatever they have going at that time. And these cards, they are so good. Like, they feel good. They're beautiful. I love how they're designed. These are scripture affirmation cards for your kids. And they cover all kinds of topics with just a little word of encouragement and a scripture verse. And there's something you could leave in your kid's lunchbox, on their pillow, on their desk. Here's a couple topics right in front of me. One says, when it's hard to make the right choice. And then there's a verse, and on the backside, just the cutest design. When you feel stressed. When your best wasn't good enough. When things don't go as planned. Okay, hello, I think I need these cards. These are so great for me to just have in front of me on my desk, but then to be able to give them to our kids, even mail them to our college kids. I love these so much. And you can get a copy for yourself to share with your kids over at www.cpgive.org. Again, that's the letter CP as in Christian Parenting Give.org. I know you're going to love these. So head over there and check them out and get a copy, a whole pack of these to use for your family. Okay, now we're going to dive into this interview with Cynthia Yanoff, where we're talking about her most recent book called Life is Messy, God is Good. And I love that Cynthia talks about how we have an opportunity every day to align reality with theology. That is huge. Cynthia reminds us that God's bigger plan for our lives includes the big, small, funny, ridiculous, mundane, and gut-wrenching messes. And Cynthia can tell a story like no other. I know you're going to love getting to know her. And you'll find show notes, links to everything we talk about over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. And now, without further ado, here is Cynthia Yanoff and I talking about how good God is in the middle of our messy lives. I hope you're encouraged. Cynthia, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. How are you, friend?
Oh, I am so good. And I have been so looking forward. I feel like you and I struggled to make this connection. We kept like having to move and bump. And so I am so excited to talk to you. And I feel like my list is so long, all the things I want to cover. So I'm going to dive in quick. But first, for anyone that doesn't know you, give us a quick, you know, tell us about you, who you are, where you are.
Yeah, the 2 second on me is, I'm a wife, a mom. I used to be a lawyer, and the Lord called me into different stuff. And so now I'm author, podcaster. My podcast is called Mesmerized with 2 S's. And I have a husband of 21 years. No, that's wrong, because my daughter's 21. Let's think again.
Do the math quick.
I have a husband of 23 years.
There we go.
And I have a college kid. I have a high school kid, and everyone brace yourself. Uh-huh. I have a first grader.
There we go.
So yeah, college, high school, and first grade, a
God
little
bless
foster
you.
Care. Yeah. Foster care adoption story. And that's where I am in life.
Oh, so good. I love that. And I love that about you because my spread isn't quite that wide, but I similarly have college and I guess now it's middle school, actually college grad and middle school. So we understand that whole thing and we're going to get to that too in this conversation. But we're going to talk about your brand new book, Life is Messy, God is Good. And I just told you before we started, I can be like your top sales girl because literally I can't tell you how many people I have opened up and just read the opening of your book to.
That's so nice.
I feel like when you're reading out loud to friends and family members, it's got to be a good book. So well done. Such a great book.
Oh. Thank you. That means a ton coming from you.
No,
so I
truly,
appreciate that.
Truly. You make me laugh, but you also get to that heart place and that's huge. And it's so important. And yeah, it's actually taken me a long time to read it. Not because it's hard to read, but because I keep going back and rereading stories and they're so good.
So. Well, thanks for saying that. You're very kind.
Absolutely. Well, tell us the heart of the book so that everyone knows where we're coming from before they go order it.
Yeah, I'm a girl who grew up in church. I love the church. I grew up with a great family of faith. And it took me, I'm kind of a slow study, I think. It took me 20, 30 years of life to realize, like, I had categorized my life in the spiritual aspects and then just everything else. And the spiritual aspects, you know, were like Sunday mornings or maybe, you know, those moments where I knew God was present. Like, we know he's always present, but those moments when you really feel it, like I was like, I just had a baby. I was at youth camp in eighth grade, all those things. But then there was everything else. And then I had kids and that everything else got really messy and unpredictable and off script. And in that, I realized, like, if my theology isn't lining up with my reality, then it's not a theology at all. Like, it's just some good advice. But I needed a theology that lined up with what was going on Tuesday and Thursday in carpool and, you know, Friday when I did expense reports. And so that's kind of where it came from. And I realized, like, in the crazy, in the mess, in the hardest things I face and the great things, like, God is in all of that. And so how do those intersect? And when they do, like, where's God in it? What's he doing? And so my hope was, and my heart behind this book was, it all kind of got serious at some point. And I understand faith is a serious issue, but I'm like, I read all these books, really good books, but everybody mm-hmm. seems to know what's going on and have this, like, this is the way to do it. I'm like, could I possibly potentially write a book where we could just all laugh about where it went wrong, but yet God was still in it? And that's that's what this is.
Oh my goodness. I love that. And isn't your phrase, when did it all become so serious? Is that like kind of your the phrase you use a lot?
It is. I do say that a lot just because, I mean, I grew up in a house where humor was the currency. Like that was valued. If you could laugh at things. And I'm so thankful that that's what we've tried to pass on to our family. Mm-hmm. Are we a tad too sarcastic? For sure in this house, for sure. But like that's like we argue almost daily on who's the funniest in the family. I'm like, no, it's clearly me, you guys. And we laugh all the time. And I just want to have... I want to have a faith that we can laugh sometimes and we can be like, you know what? That was so wheels off. And I don't know what I was thinking there and be able to laugh. My mom always said, if you're going to laugh about it in a year, then laugh about it now. And I try to live by that in parenting. I try to be like, okay, yeah, my kid just totally just like whatever they did, you know, on any given day we have kids, whatever that thing is. I'm like, okay, yes, I'm going to discipline it. Yes. There's places we need to take things seriously, but If I need to get in bed at night and laugh at it a little bit because I'm going to laugh in a year, then I'm going to do that. And so, I try to
super
try to be
refreshing.
That way.
Okay, I just have to hang out on this whole point here because I was also raised by parents who I think they would say, you know, when people ask them, they've been married 50 something years. I lost track, but they've been married a long time and they're still happily married. And when you ask them, like, oh, what's the key to a good, long lasting marriage? That probably each of them would say, oh, a sense of humor. Like that has carried them through everything. So I was raised in that kind of home where every day there's laughter. So I love it. But I have four kids and I don't know about you, but it's number four that has really brought the humor into our home. You know, they say that the baby is often the comedian of the family.
Yeah.
And I think too, that perspective, which is all throughout your book, the topic of perspective, love that so much. We need it so desperately. But I think because maybe he's my last, like I have this perspective shift that I'm just letting myself laugh more. And sometimes it's a moment that he knows if he can get me to laugh. And so it's frustrating in a sense, but at the same time, it's like so healthy and it feels so good to just let myself laugh at it and know that, yeah, in a year I will laugh at this. So might as well laugh today. So good.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I'm the baby too, for what it's worth.
Okay.
I'm the baby, the family
there we
too.
Go.
But yeah, my little one, bless it. I mean, literally the other day he was in the car with some other moms and little boys. And the mom said she asked, and by the way, the mom who was driving the kids around, it was her oldest. Okay. So imagine the oldest with my, by far the youngest. And she's like, what do y'all want to listen to? And she's like, I'm thinking like Kids Bop. And she goes, no lie. Your kid said Bruno Mars. And I said, well, I apologize for that, but he has two older siblings. So that's all he knows. He's never heard of Kids Bop. So yeah, you just kind of have to laugh, don't you?
Right?
And be like, What you gonna do?
You do. Yeah. And those youngest, when they have the older siblings, I mean, my mom's always like, oh, Levi's missed out on his childhood. He's been busy being a teenager since he could walk,
right,
you know?
Right.
So, oh my goodness. So the youngest is adopted, right?
Yes, yes.
And
from
still,
foster care.
Still got your sense of humor. Somehow the genetics got in there, got that DNA. Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to say something else. You kept saying still and pausing. I thought you were going to say he's still not reading because there's that too, you guys. We even held him back and he's still not reading. And so listen, before everyone's like, oh good, she wrote a book and she's going to talk about parenting or whatever else. Like we are totally missing the boat, but yes, he has a pretty good sense of humor. Of course he takes it too far constantly because he's the youngest. And what sounds funny or is kind of funny coming out of like, you know, a junior in high school or in college isn't quite as, endearing with a little one, but nonetheless, yeah, he's pretty funny.
Absolutely. And I think you mentioned the reading issue. I think when they do have a great sense of humor, they learn to compensate for other things using that, which is good, but we also need to be aware of it, right?
Right. It's time to read, everyone. In fact, people have heard me laughing about this, not laughing, well, kind of laughing so I don't cry. And everyone is sending me like their book recommendations. People are like, if you can get to Cleveland, I can tutor him. I'm like, bless it. Poor kid.
He's going to be fine. He's going to
be fine, everyone. It's fine.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, you touched on foster care, but I'm so interested because I'm such a fan and I just love your heart for that. Can you tell us just a little bit of that story?
Yeah, the short version is I was sitting downtown Dallas in a law firm, 40th floor, and I had this moment of what now I would call church words, holy discontent. Okay. Like if you grew up in church, you know those words. Mm-hmm. But basically I knew the words. I don't think I knew the feeling until that day, but I was sitting in my office and I kind of put my head back and I had the sense of the Lord just saying, there's something else. And I've never had that before. And I was like, well, I got a really good job and I have a really good education to give me that job. So we're going to chalk that up to lunch or something because that's got to be wrong.
Yeah.
And then over a series of time, I just knew. And so I just prayed. I'm like, Lord, whatever it is you want for our family, we'll do it, like whatever it is, but just like make it evident, like obvious to us. And so over a period of a couple of months, I stopped practicing law. My husband's a lawyer and I'm so thankful that he is. I mean, he pays the bills, thankfully. And I, who knows what I do, but I stopped practicing law and we knew that the Lord called us into foster care. And so that's kind of how we got there. But and even then we were like the most reluctant. I always say it was the most reluctant yes I've ever given because I was like, oh gosh, Lord, I think foster care is for like those super spiritual people that are like, you know, like all in. And I feel like we like let our kids play select sports on Sundays and like we break some of the rules of what you're supposed to do. And the Lord is like, no, you're the ones. Yeah. And so our little one, it was the very first placement we got and he never left. We were not looking to adopt, but the Lord had a different plan. And so, yeah, he's been with us since he was 2 months old. We adopted him at two. And I'll just sum up the whole thing to say, my testimony is always about foster care. And I want this to be a word for whatever God's calling you to, not specific to foster care. But I went into it scared of what it would do to our family. And I came out of it scared of who we'd be if we had not done it. Because the Lord changes you. When you go do the things you're called to do, and whether that's foster care or taking a casserole across the street or whatever your thing is, the Lord changes you. And he changes your family from the inside out. And the thing is he's faithful and he is good and you know him differently when you walk roads where if he doesn't show up, it's going to be bad. Oh and so goodness. I just, what you know, when people ask about foster care, I'm always a little hesitant because I do think a lot of people are called to foster care. I think a lot of people aren't, but I always want our story to be a bigger story of like, listen, go do the hard thing. Wow. You can do this and the Lord will show up.
Okay. That gave me goosebumps, or as we say here in Hawaii, chicken skin. That was like such a word and so important for whatever it is. And we each know, like everybody listening right now is thinking of that thing that might be on their heart. Maybe the Lord's nudged them and they're like, oh, what if I don't do it? Like, that's a great way to look at it. That's powerful.
Just a reluctant yes is all it takes. Not even a like, I'm all in, just a little yes. Yeah. It goes a long way. So,
And probably like I say about homeschooling, you would say about foster care that – yeah, it's not for everyone, but a lot more people would do it if they knew how great it was or knew what it would look like for their family. So whew, that's amazing.
Would you want to homeschool another one? I've got one over here that could learn to read. We could come for a little while.
Hey, you are welcome here. That would be so much fun. I think our kids would get into some trouble together, though.
For sure.
Okay, well, there's too many topics in this book I want to cover because I know that everyone listening can relate to so many of them. But I want to talk friendships. All of us moms, it can be a struggle. It can be hard when you're busy, maybe working with your family, all that. But you talk about your four crazy friends, or the category of four crazy friends. Can you expound on that a little for us?
Yeah. I think friendship's one of those things that like we crave. And I think we could all agree esoterically, like, yeah, that's very important. We need community. We need people around us. But yet we often don't because we don't prioritize it. Yeah. I'm the worst at it and I'm extroverted. So even if you're not leading extroverted like I am, I can see where that would be even harder. But life is busy and it feels like a luxury to really invest in friends. And I'm just so thankful. I have lots, like all of you, lots of different groups of friends, but you're referring to these four or five girls that we've had lunch together every Wednesday. I mean, I'm not always there, but some group of us there every Wednesday since our kids were little, like we're talking over 10 years. And these girls have just been like, we've been the rock for each other. And we've had divorces and defiant children and parents pass away and cancer diagnosis and one husband had an affair and all these things. And I just, I'm reminded of how important community is. And I think what happens in friendship, Monica, I don't know if everyone feels this way, but I do. I feel like it's one of these things where we tend to value, like a lot of things in life, quantity over quality. And the thing is like, we just need quality friendships. We need good, strong. And if you're like me, it's easy to look around and be like, oh man, everybody went on a girls trip. I didn't get invited. Oh, they all had a game night. Nobody, like I can go back to my sixth grade insecurities faster than anyone can think of. And so my encouragement has been just lean in to the ones the Lord's put around you. Be that friend to others. Be the friend you need. And biblically speaking, you know, I think of that story of the man who was paralyzed and he was on a mat, right? And his four friends heard that Jesus came to town. So they pick him up and they take him, and he gets there and they realize, like, we can't even get in the door. Like, there's so many people. And so did they give up? Of course not. They went up on the roof and they got a hole in, right? They lowered him in because they knew Jesus was the only thing that could save him. And so what I like to think about with that is, like, listen, those are the four friends you need. You need the four crazy friends that are going to, like, literally raise the roof to get you in front of Jesus. Oh, yeah. Like, you don't need the four friends that can't see the problem. You don't need the four friends that don't show up because they're too busy. Mm-hmm. You need the four friends who believe in your marriage when you don't. Yeah. The four friends who believe in your kids when they're doing dumb things. Mm-hmm. You need the four that are chasing your dream when you think your dream is dead. Like, those are the four friends you need. Yeah. Don't worry about the rest. And that doesn't mean that we're trying to be antagonistic with other people. No. Mm-hmm. Like, let's live in harmony to the best of our ability. But if all the behavioral scientists are right that say that we really only, as we're designed by God, we can really only have five or six really deep bonded relationships, well then lean into those four crazy friends, or two or three, or however many the Lord's given you, and then don't worry about the extra. We can't be in everybody's top four or five, and they can't be in ours, and that's okay. And so that's my encouragement, is really, especially in my own life, just having bought into a lie for so many years that everyone has to love and accept and value me. Well, no, like, if you're going to do the things of God, not everybody's going to be on your side. So find the people who are and really treasure that.
Oh, such a good word. So important. And I love that. I think you point out that, you know, even Jesus had that smaller group around him. And I think that's, like, a good model for all of us. And I love that you say, you know, whoever your few are, one, two, five, lean into those. And I think we can hold back sometimes and think, oh, I should probably spread myself out. But no, just love on those people. And I think you're the kind of friend we all wish we had, because I think you're so good at speaking truth, but then making us laugh while you feed us the truth. Would it be too much to ask, like, we don't want to give away this book, but the French fry story, your friend?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, seriously, I laughed out loud and read it out loud to my husband. Can you just share that story with us?
Of course. Of course. So I, this group of friends, three or four of us decided we were going to go, like, to this healthy eating class. And so I kind of start the book by saying this, and then I mark it out and I'm like, never mind, let's just call it Fat Camp. So we decided to go to what we called as Fat Camp. And it was this class where they're going to talk out, you know, healthy eating and examining your priorities with food and blah, blah. And so we went, and we were like, 3 weeks in, and I got there late, and I shimmy on into the table where my friends are sitting. I look over, and one of my friends is sitting there with her, like, I can do all things notebook, you know, like, all things through Christ who strengthens me notebook, and she's taking her little notes. I'm like, well, aren't you cute over there? And then as I look closer, she has a scarf on. It's winter. I mean, as much as Texas gets winter, but it's winter, and she has this, like, real cute scarf on, and I'm like, what is in this girl's scarf? And I'm looking closer. I'm like, it's like an accessory on her accessory. And then, Monica, I figured out what it was. And I mean, I lose it. Like, I start laughing like you laughing, like, inappropriately laughing at a funeral, or, like, you know, when your husband slips and falls down. Like, I'm laughing so hard, and my friends are, like, looking at me, and I'm like, I'm disrupting. And they're like, what are you doing? Well, unbeknownst to my precious friend over there who was in Fat Camp, she had a French fry stuck in her scarf. A French fry, you guys. And I don't mean, like, a little, like, McDonald's. We're talking Chick-fil-A waffle fry stuck in her scarf, because she had gone through the drive-thru on her way to Fat Camp and didn't realize she had dropped a scarf in it. And, I mean, a French fry in it. And so we still laugh about it. And I told her, I'm like, listen, you get no judgment from me other than the fact that you didn't invite me. Like, I would have gone to the Chick-fil-A on the way to Fat Camp. Don't be going without me, girl.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have laughed.
The best story. Ever.
And laughed about that. But I do kind of draw it into a point of there are those things, like, in our life that we have. Sometimes we're trying to do the best we can in raising our kids, or being a good wife, or whatever your thing is. Mm-hmm. And you have a French fry in your scarf. Like, what is the thing that people either see or can't see? Sometimes you know, sometimes you don't know. But what are those things that are, like, the impediments to our best laid intentions?
Yes.
And you can go to all the fat camps you want, but if you're driving through all the time, it's probably not going to do anything for you. And that's just a metaphor for bigger life issues, right?
That is metaphor for all of life, and how God's right there in the middle of the mess, and such encouragement. I just love it. And I laughed so hard at that. So
good.
Everyone's going to, even though we gave it away here, when you read it, you're going to laugh all over again because you tell that story so well. And my husband was. When I read it, he's like, dang, she's a good writer. She's,
oh.
Yeah, yeah. And that takes a lot for him to say. So
tell him thanks.
Yes, I will. If someone had told me 18 years ago when my older sons started homeschooling that one day they would be graduating from college with degrees in engineering and data analytics, I'm not sure if I would have believed you. I wouldn't have known how they could learn all those things since those are not my areas of expertise. Well, thankfully, God provided, and we found some great curriculums along the way, and the curriculum that my boys would say most prepared them for their studies was the Shorman math classes found at diveintomath.com. Now, Dive Into Math offers a biblical and historical foundation in their math classes, teaching the why of learning math. They have self-paced courses and state-of-the-art e-learning systems featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading, auto-recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman, which my boys did utilize. Now, Dr. Shorman is from Texas A&M. He is well-studied, so smart, but he's moved here to the North Shore of Oahu, and we've gotten to know him well, and he is an amazing man we have so much respect for. This next year, as Levi starts high school, he'll be taking Dr. Shorman's Algebra 1 and 2, which teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. You guys, this is a great curriculum. I highly recommend if your kids are interested in college or at least you want to keep that door open, definitely go to diveintomath.com. Check out all that they have to offer. Let me know what you think. Can't wait to hear from you. Hey friends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift you might get your mom? I know every year I try to think of something unique, and I'm so excited to get to tell you about a really good idea. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your mom a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com will compile all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook if you prefer, using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Now, recently, I was able to order MyLifeInABook.com for my mom, and I cannot wait to hear all of her stories. She has such great stories. I can't wait to see them all in a book form. So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. Again, that's MyLifeInABook.com and use code MONICA for 10% off today. With that, you already mentioned some of the lies you are believing. And I so appreciate that you point out in this book just how many lies are in our culture that can just, I mean, in across the board, every area of life, we know that. We're in a spiritual battle as long as we're on this earth as believers. But I think some of those lies creep into our lives as moms, as women. Can you talk a little bit about that, some of the lies that you've struggled with and how you've overcome them?
Yeah. One of them, yeah, is that everyone has to love and accept me. We kind of talked about that. I think another one that I've struggled with is that I'm defined by the success and failures of my kids. And it's funny because, Monica, I wouldn't have been the person that thought that. Like, I feel like I'm kind of independent. And, and I'm the first to tell you my kids are yahoos. Like, we don't really raise the most intelligent people ever. Like, we're just mediocre, but we're lots of fun. And so I never would have thought, like, I would be that person that's totally defined by my kids. And I figured it out pretty fast that that was becoming an issue. And I think here's the hard truth. If you're going to be defined by the success and failures of your kids, you got to stop and look at what the world is calling a success and a failure.
Amen.
Right?
There
like
we
the
go.
World is calling as success things that are measurable, how well you do academically, how fast you can run around the track, all those kind of things. But what's not measurable are the very things that are most God-honoring on any given day.
Yes.
Like, we're not measuring and calling a success or giving a certificate when our kid leaves a text thread that's not appropriate, or when our kid sits with someone else in the cafeteria that didn't have a friend, or our kid walks away from a popular group because they're making bad choices. Like, that's not measurable, but that's God honoring. And so that's the issue that comes with our culture's definition of success.
Yeah.
is most often measurable. And the things we want our kids to do are not measurable. Mm-hmm. The same thing happens when you think about failures. Like, what's a failure at the end of the day? Like, what gets called a failure? I kind of tell the story in the book, but my son, a couple of 2 years ago, was on the football team in high school. And this was his year to get the Friday Night Lights. And you guys, listen, calm it down. I live in Texas and nothing reigns as superior and supreme as Friday Night Lights. Football. Mm-hmm. And so this was his year. And so he's all ready. Like the season starts and he's like, put me in, coach. And he's all ready. And then he didn't go in. And the next week he didn't go in. And the next week. And so it got real quiet and real interesting in our house. And by the end of the season, he played a tiny bit, but not really. And so he was really bummed. We all were. And we went to the end of the year, like banquet, a football banquet. And I was like, do we really have to go? To my husband. Yeah. I'm like, do we really have to go? Like, we've been celebrating these kids all year.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm so glad we were celebrating. But at the same time, I was just like, is this necessary? And so we get there. My husband's, of course, much more rational and reasonable than I am. So he's like, yeah, we're going. And so is our son. So we go and they call out all the awards at the very end. Last award. I'm like, oh, we're finally going to get out of here. Mm. They call up my son. And I'm like, okay, well, coach, you got the wrong guy. Like, the kid didn't touch the field. Mm-hmm. And the coach starts talking about how the scout team, and, you know, the scout team is the team that gets the real team ready. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. But, you know, they do all the same workouts, the same hard hits. They are there all the long hours. But on Friday night, they're not playing. They're getting the other team, the real team, ready to play. Mm-hmm. And he named my son the MVP of the scout team.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I realized in that moment? He took a perceived failure and he named it a success.
Mm.
And that's what I think is the deal. If we start defining ourselves by the failures of our kids, who gets to decide what's a failure? Mm. Instead, we need to be the people that are taking perceived failures and naming them a success. Mm. Because we know that God can take anything and do something mighty out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like our job has got to be, instead of being defined by the success and failures, like, we got to be out there naming scout team. We got to go out there and be like, yeah, to my kid and to yours. Be like, yeah, that didn't go so well, but I know God can use that. Yep. And yeah, that may have looked like a failure in front of your friends or to the college board or to whatever it is, but I know that built something in you that I'm naming a success today. Mm. And so that's my encouragement. I just needed someone to help me most of my parenting years see, like, believe forward in your kids and what God will do in your kids. Start naming things as success in your own kids, but be the mom that can do that for everyone else's kids too.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good word right there. Thank you so much. And yeah, I talk a lot about character, and that's one challenging thing is it's not always measurable. And it's a heart issue. And so I love those opportunities to speak them out. And I think a mom's words are powerful. I think if we believe in our kids, even when they don't believe in themselves, oh, so powerful. I love that story.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and can I add one other thing to that?
Of course.
I do think I just, like, this always stays with me. It's just that I feel like that coach really pointed out that just because our kids' names aren't called in the loudspeaker doesn't mean, like, their contribution didn't count. And just because they played a support role, that doesn't make it a failure.
Mm.
And just because you're not in the highlight video, like, you shouldn't diminish that value.
Yeah.
And in today's culture where platform is king and social media is king, we need those reminders that, like, it doesn't have to be platform worthy to be significant. And most of the time it's not.
Yeah.
And so I just would encourage us in that. I think our kids hear that so much that it doesn't matter, you know, unless it's this big, huge platform thing. And I just don't think I know that's not how the Lord works. I mean, heck, you guys, Jesus only had 12. So let's just calm down on needing these, you know, big platforms to have any significance in life. Oh,
but it is such a challenge because they are growing up with social media and they're seeing all these platforms and goodness, but if we can help them understand, you know, the audience of one, I remember just feeling so blessed when my oldest son started to tell me that, you know, the things he does is really because he really, really believes that God sees him and that there's eternal rewards. And I was like, oh, if that can click. But that's not easy for a kid growing up, for sure.
It's not easy for me.
No, don't you think? Any of us.
I mean, it's taken years and years and years to think in an eternal's perspective. And I'm one opportunity to be mad on behalf of my kids away from forgetting that.
You know? For sure. Yes. Yeah. And I think everyone listening, and myself included, can relate to those situations where you're just like bummed for the sake of your kid, but we need to keep speaking truth to ourselves and to them to help them hold on. Oh, such good stuff. Well, part of that is community. Part of that is surrounding them with good people. And I love that you love the church, because I am a fan too. And I think it's a hard time right now in the world to communicate how important the local church is. But give us some thoughts on that.
Yeah. You know, I grew up in church, and so I really know church. I say in the book that, like, if Serena Williams knows tennis, Cynthia Ganoff knows church. Like, I was born in the church, basically, people. But and I can laugh at all the church things, and I do. Mm-hmm. I laugh at all the funny things we say, the weird things we do. I mean, I could go on for days about it. The hard thing about church is also that some of the deepest wounds we have come from the church or church people. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it really tricky. And and so I don't want to minimize that it's been hard for a lot of people, myself included, have mm-hmm. had some really hard walks with church people. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking in terms of physical abuse, but in terms of just emotionally really struggling and suffering and feeling let down and disappointed, it can be really hard. Like, let's acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful to know that, listen, the church is full of, like, the misguided, those who get it wrong, myself included, right? Mm-hmm. And I think where we get in trouble is that we start associating God with the people of God. And there's a big distinction between them.
Yes.
And so when we allow maybe just the loudest voice in the room to speak over us things that God has never spoken over us, that becomes a problem. Mm. And so I guess my encouragement is for myself, I've had to step back before many times, oftentimes, and been like, okay, like this isn't God's truth about me. And this is maybe an individual's truth about me. Sometimes actually spoken, sometimes I've read into that. And I have to step back and line things up with truth, with God's word. What do I know that he says about me? What do I know about what he loves and who he is? Mm. And you know what? When you do that, you realize he loves the church and he loves the people in the church too. Yeah. And so I just say, you know, are there times absolutely when we need to, maybe look for a different church? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that we can do besides walking away. Mm-hmm. I think the illustration I think about most often is, you know, if you're invited to go to the White House, irrespective of who the president is, and you could go in and see all the history there and see our national defense plans and all that. But on your way in at the gatehouse, the guard was playing music you didn't like. And you're like, you know what? I'm not going in. I didn't like the music. Well, I mean, that would make no sense. And I think that's what we do at church sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes it is literally the music that gets us mad and we don't stay, or the preaching or whatever, right? That can be the thing. But really, we take something that is just tangentially out there and we call that the church. And don't do that. Like, God is the church. And so that's my encouragement. I know it's hard. It is not easy. And I've walked through a really hard couple of years. Mm-hmm. In church hurt. And I just encourage everybody to stay true, go back, keep working at it, serve, and you know, and the Lord's, he honors that.
Oh, I love that so much. And I think that is such a perspective shift. Sometimes people are going in expecting everything to be like Christ, when in reality, only Christ is like Christ. Right. And the rest of us are just broken people that need a lot of help. And so if we can, like, recognize that and go in knowing that, I think it changes everything. We have more grace, more patience, more compassion on everybody, including ourselves, right? So important.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, so there's just like 15 more points I want to cover, but I won't. I'll let people just read the book. But I love, like, when I talk parenting, I talk a lot about, like, keep your eyes on the vision for, you know, the adults your kids will one day be. Instead of getting caught up in all the daily grind, like, really keep your vision on the end. But I love how you talk about living with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. And again, perspective all throughout this book. So tell us a little bit more about that, how we can all live with the end in mind.
Yeah. Well, I think that's such a good question, a hard question. Mm-hmm. And I try to be practical when I'm talking, because, you know, in theory, we all want to do that, right? And I even said to my son the other day, my high schooler, when I said no to him, go on a date. And I said, listen, I'm not looking for your thank you now. I'm looking for a thank you when you're 30. And he rolled his eyes, of course, so that went well. But here's what I would say. Yeah. I always talk about being the oldest mom on the playground, right? Because I have older kids and I have this little one. Mm-hmm. And there's a few things I would say. If you're looking towards the end and keeping the end in mind, and also being a mom like you that sent a kid to college, I've had the advantage of being able to look back. And here's a couple of things. And I call them my playground rules. So here's one. There's plenty of room for everyone. that's something I wish I would have known. Like, we don't have to siphon our life so small that we only let our kids around certain people and we only want them to be exposed to this or that. Like, listen, the kindest thing you can do on a given day is to invite someone else to the table, someone else that needs a spot, someone else that needs a friend. And so there is room for everyone. I always say don't sweat the slide etiquette. Don't sweat the slide etiquette because, listen, I remember being in the playground one time, a kid was going up the wrong way, right? Going up the slide instead of going up the stairs. And the mom was like, and I get it. I mean, we all have our hills to die on, no pun intended. But I realized, like, in that moment, I was watching him and I was like, listen, like, there are so many places where my kids, I wanted them to go up the stairs and do it the right way, but they got to the top. It just looked different. And that's how God created them uniquely. Like, you don't have to go the same path. And so give your kids room and freedom in that to get to the top in the way that the Lord designed them to do it, and the top as the Lord defines the top, not what we call getting to the top.
Wow.
The third thing is it's okay to play alone. You know, when I say that after I just said, like, there's room for everyone, but I do believe that it's okay to play alone. If we want kids are going to stand for their faith in today's culture, then we have to let them stand alone sometimes. And our kids cannot stand alone if we're not allowing them to, if we are not modeling it. And so modeling it, when God calls you to do something, go do it, even if you're standing alone. When God tells you to get out of a group, even though it's so much fun and you love all those moms, but it's not the best spot for you, then walk away.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to raise kids who can stand alone in today's culture. And so, and the last one that I always talk about is like, don't throw wood chips. and that day, I'm talking about one specific day, I was on the playground and I noticed all the kids were throwing wood chips and this mom, probably a teacher. I love the teachers. So she's like, knock it off, everyone. And they stopped. I'm like, good for you. I'm sure I was scrolling Instagram, ignoring my child, but whatever the case, I was thinking, you know, it's not just the kids that throw the wood chips, right? Like, as moms, we do. And it looks like, you know, big eyes at the birthday party when someone's kid is acting a certain way, or calling our friend on the way home being like, I mean, we should pray about so-and-so's child's decision, and right? All those things. Don't do that. Like, there's so many roads we'll never have to walk. And so let's just have grace for each other. And that's kind of, if I could tell my younger self something now, kind of seeing, the end inside in terms of actual parenting, my oldest, who's in college now, I would just say, there's room for everyone at the table. Don't sweat the slide etiquette. It's okay for our kids to play alone, and don't throw wood chips. Those would be my thoughts.
Such wisdom. And yet when you're just starting off and you're overwhelmed, it's hard to have that perspective. So I'm glad you could share it from that end of things. And I relate to you now that I'm the old mom here with my youngest friends. I'm always like, oh, it's so different this time. So we need that wisdom. Thank you for sharing. Okay. Well, love this book and just such a refreshing, encouraging, inspiring read. I'm guessing you can find it anywhere books are sold, but where can people find and follow you? Tell everyone where you're at.
Yeah, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So CynthiaYanoff.com. I have the weirdest last name ever.
It's all right.
But CynthiaYanoff.com has a lot of stuff about me. And then again, the podcast I have is called Mesmerized with two S's, mess. Kind of my theme of life is just the mess of life. So Mesmerized. And then, life is messy. God is good. The book is in all the usual spots. But and let me just say this. I'm a huge fan of you, Monica. Aww. And I'm not saying that, everyone. We've kind of known each other. We've walked in the same circles for a long time. And and you do things well. And I love reading and listening to what you do. So it means a lot that thank you from all of us for what you do.
Thank you so much. And thanks for helping me laugh through it all, because, you know, some of us that tend to be more all about the important stuff, we need to be reminded that laughter is a huge part of this too. So thank you so much. All right. Well, I'll definitely want to have you back on, and I'm sure we'll team up in other places, but God bless you. And thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you.
All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation, and be sure to grab links and show notes over at monicaswanson.com/Cynthia-Yanoff. And that is Cynthia spelled just like you would imagine, and Yanoff, Y-A-N-O-F. All right. Thank you so much for being here. Again, don't forget to go over to cpgive.org to get your awesome scripture affirmation cards. And also be sure to stay tuned for so many fun things coming up related to my book, launch team, other fun freebies and giveaways, as well as an amazing lineup of interviews and podcast episodes this spring. So please continue to tell your friends about the podcast and continue to share it. If you're not a subscriber yet to the podcast, be sure to click on that little subscribe plus sign on your podcast app so you're following and getting all the new episodes. And here's your reminder to stay strong, stay faithful, keep raising those kids with intention and building your amazing families. We need each other. So stay strong for one another. All right. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And until next time, aloha.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.